after retirement, you had some time coaching at Leeds.
Yeah, I was invited down. I came down and I enjoyed Lydney, and I still do. I like their say it as it attitude. You know, they didn't mix their words; they say it as it is, and I enjoyed that about the club. And I went on two very enjoyable tours with them to America.
Yeah,
it was for fun. Yeah. You know, yeah. If they won, they won, but it wasn't mega. And you got to remember then the stakes wasn't particularly high in rugby standards, but I enjoyed coaching Lydney.
The first season down, it's 83-84, wasn't it? And that season Lydney got the double over Gloucester.
That's right, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember they were pushing to come out from the 22, and I think it was Brian Vine who was then playing for Gloucester, yeah. Dropped the ball, and John Savile picked up, crashed on the post, game over. And of course down here, I mean, you had a player like Paul Howells at scrum half,
yeah.
It was, well, he was incredible on his day when he wanted to be, and he'd look up at a scrum and say, I'm coming round that side, you know, blind, and he'd be round and he scored in the corner. And yeah. So that was I think that was the first time ever they'd done a double, and I don't think they've done it again since.
I think they did it all back in the 30s, way back. Certainly not happened since then.
No. I mean, I remember we played in the county championship final, and we let ourselves down a bit, to be honest with you, Lydney. Not the county championship, the county cup final at King's Arms. We let ourselves down, and from Gloucester's point of view, they made reference to this performance in the programme, which absolutely incensed me. And it was the big thing that I threw at the boys before they went out. You know, I was incensed by that. They should call, you know, I said, that's what they think you. That's what they think you are. You've let yourself down. They go and prove them wrong. And that was all you needed. It was just the thing that they needed.
You did Mike Nichols on them.
Yeah, yeah. And they went out and they did it, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, when they come down, then they were all fired up then to do the double, and I mean, they had some good players then, very good players.
Yeah. Lydney. Well, that's when Lydney was still the premier club down in the Forest before Cinderford came through, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, from my perspective, it's a shame because I think Lydney, if they could have built on, you know, their history, if you like, and maintained that, you know, to be the premiership club in the Forest, I think that have been, for me, that have been really, really good. But finances come into it, and in a professional area, they can't afford to do it.
Yeah.
You know, the gates, I can't imagine, have changed that much over the years, and you can't go on doing this in the professional era. Yeah. And also, if you look at it, I bet you now, if you look at Cinderford, it hasn't really worked for them, chucking all that money at it. And if you look at the first team, how many actual Cinderford people are in there?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the case with Lydney. You've got to be very careful because, I mean, if you think of the players that Lydney produced, Ian Wilkins, Peter Kingston, international, Chris Williams, international, Paul Howells, Brian Vine, David Crabb, you know,
John Morris,
Gordon Sargent, international, yeah, the list goes on, you know.
Rev Duffy, John Morris.
Copper was, I played against Copper in my first game.
Yeah,
yeah, John Morris, yeah, and in the county with John Morris.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but the players who came to Gloucester, I mean, these are are players who played and then come to Gloucester.
Yeah.
I mean, so they were producing the old, was Dean Academy now, but the old Lydney Grammar School, Ted Parfitt used to produce these players.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that they can't set something up that everybody's pulling towards the same thing, but you know, obviously, Bury wants to be the best, as they were for a while.
Yeah.
Cinderford, you know, Drybrook, Lydney, you know, it's split. And they struggle again with this new, if you think about it, you have to have covers now for the whole front row. You get a lot of players now not playing rugby, and kids want to play rugby, don't they?
Yeah.
So that's affects it. They struggle to get two teams. They don't want a Colts team there. Because players that aren't interested, they want to go off and do something else.
Yeah.
Youngsters, you know. Yeah. I found in the academy that you'd get 100% from all these lads, and once they realise they weren't going to be in a position to step up into the seniors, they drift off, and not always all of them would ever, you know, would carry on playing, which is a shame.
Sad,
yeah.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit about the academy and all those great young players? during the first days of professionalism, you know, I came through the academy.
I was invited back to coach a development 15 by Gareth. I'm thinking his name, Gareth, who was an England schools coach. His name will come back to me. You're going to hate me for this, but I was invited back to do the forwards, which I did, and he did the backs. And then they folded it after a year because, funny enough, we were struggling to get players. We actually were. It was that thing going back to when I was first joined the United, that they could play a higher standard, felt they could, in local rugby. So why join and play a development side, which they couldn't see was going anywhere really? Although Trevor Woodman did turn out for us one game. So it folded. It wasn't necessarily right. And then Richard Hill came in and started up properly the academy. And I was asked to manage it. And because they were running coats, and if they brought in the under 21s, so I was asked to manage it, and that's what I did. I stepped in and organised that, and they just developed it from there. Then the RFU decided that they wanted every club to have an academy, but we were always against it financially. I remember because we were in a very, very fortunate position that we had Peter Kingston was the school's under 18 coach. So although he didn't do anything at the time, he could identify and recognise players, and when their season had ended, he could then legitimately approach them and say, have you ever thought about going to Gloucester? Which is what he did. And at that time, we had Steve Borthwick, Ian Borshall, Mike Tyndall, earmarked to come to Gloucester, but we had no money. Bath were offering them like 10,000 a year, which back then was a lot of money. University place, accommodation, but we never had that basic fund in place to do that. And it was obviously that we needed to do it because we had these players, we had the chance of, I mean, they both come back, strange enough, Borshall and Tyndall, they both came back, which is something, we didn't get Steve Borthwick back. He had ginger hair at the time because I got a picture, that's a different thing you've seen there, isn't it? But so we had to take advantage of that. So the next year I went and I got a budget secured, because otherwise we weren't going to get any players. It just wasn't going to happen. And the first one that we got identified, and that is down to Philip Santacre, because he supported it, was James Sensen Daniel. Mm-hmm. He was the first one that he came down. He'd been courted by Bath. And at that time, it was a Bath player who was looking after the development academy. But for me, he wasn't doing it right. And he wouldn't. It was a case, well, let them come to us. I said, no, hang on, you've got to go and see them. So I went to see James, invited him down, invited his parents down, and he signed for us. Because, at that time, myself and my wife used to have out for Sunday lunches, because I just felt that, parents, so they've got an 18-year-old boy away from home, going to be worried that he's all right. So went out to Aina's and his wife, they gave us Sunday lunch. So we used to have some, regular Sunday lunches like that. Some of them were quite boozy. but it was making them feel comfortable, making them feel welcome. And then we started to attract players. So James Forrester came down. Johnny Goodrich, who was playing for Harlequins at the time.
Player.
Yes.
Very good player.
He ripped us apart up there, Johnny Goodrich. And I said, who's that? And Django said, that's my friend. He's interested in coming to Gloucester. So obviously we stepped on that. Through St. Peter's, we had numerous players who Dave Poynton's desire to get St. Peter's to win the Daily Mail Cup. So we had some very good players come out of that. And together, Marcel Garvey, we got a team together and we started to attract players. We also then be able to put people on contract and stuff. And it went from there, really. And I think for the time that we were there, we were very successful. I can honestly say, if we look back, did we ever let a player, Andrew Hazel came obviously through the camp, did you ever let a player go? I don't think so. Adam Eustace came through. The other second we played in the back row, John Devereux. So we did okay. I think we did all right. But the funding early on, and the ability to organise and do that, we'd have been much better. You know, we then started to get organised, proper, our own physios and everything, really. We started to get, as I wanted it to be as professional as possible, because I didn't want them to step up from us into the first team's setup, you know, the senior squad, and think, oh, I'm not used to this. I wanted them to realise right from the outset that they had to be professional, that they were representing Gloucester, that what it meant to them and everything else. And you know, I think we did. But there was Nick Marmont, Pat Kiley, but we did really well. Andrew Stanley went on to coach the first team, and of course, Sean Holly.